This episode of Outspoken is brought to you by MindTan, where tanning meets cosmetics and skincare. This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking. Our names are Amy, Kate, and Sophie Torva. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated. Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment, and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Today we're joined by Lizzie from Married at First Sight to spill all the details about the popular show. Thanks so much for speaking to us with such short notice.
Yeah, not a worry, guys.
How have you been keeping yourself entertained during this sort of awful isolation period?
Lots and lots of books. Lots of tea, candles, about 2 hours in the bath every afternoon, like full on, like zoning out kind of mood right there.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Are there any books you'd recommend?
I finished one yesterday and it's called The Devil Inside. I can't remember the author, but I just started literally about an hour and a half ago, The Day the Lies Began. So I'm getting right in there with the drama, and I also finished a romantic novel the other day.
Oh, you're making me feel guilty because I've just been watching Netflix, and I was going to see if you had any Netflix or even podcast recommendations.
Do you know what? I'm actually not a TV person.
Really?
I know people kind of go, what? They're just like, but no, I'm not a TV person. But I must admit, I can't believe I'm going to admit this. I have been watching Vanderpump Rules back to back.
Ooh, I used to love that back in the day. I probably should start watching it again.
It's so trashy. I love it.
So did you watch Maths? Did you watch Maths then before you went on? Or does that explain your reason for signing up?
Nope. Never, ever watched Maths beforehand. I knew about it, obviously, because when I was driving to work, I was about an hour drive every morning. So you'd have the morning radio and there was always a Maths person on there, but had never actually watched it.
Oh my gosh. So were you approached to go on it or were you?
Yes, I was. Yeah. I was approached.
Oh, wow. Because it's so funny. A couple of years ago, because my sisters and I were triplets, we actually got approached to go on it, and it was the series when they had the twins on it. So I think they were scouting out multiple births, but we said no at the time. But how did you, were you found on Instagram or were you out and about?
No. I was literally at work and going on to the bathroom. So I was managing Michael Hill at that point, and I just walked to go to the bathroom and I heard this, excuse me. And I wanted to, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but this is a salesperson technique, want to lure them back to go something. And literally have you thought about being on reality TV before? And I was like, no, not really. But what show, Married at First Sight, I'm like, yeah, I heard of it, but I have never actually watched it.
Oh, wow. Because it is kind of flattering when people ask you, were you flattered or did you initially think, nah, I'm not doing this?
Look, it's not the first time I've been asked. I've been scouted for things. So when I was younger, I talk about this quite a bit on my Instagram, but I'm not sure how many people are actually aware of it, that I was, I have a chronic illness and I actually was really sick for about a decade. So that year that I got scouted, I was literally 6 months into having a job, which I hadn't had a job for 10 years. I literally started work that year.
Oh, wow. So can you tell us more about your chronic illness?
If you feel comfortable. Basically I had a misdiagnosis and it was quite horrendous. And then they started to figure out that wasn't what the case was. And it's kind of an ongoing thing. Mm. It is hard to manage. I'd started work and done really well within 6 months. So I just decided I was going to go move to Sydney and live with my brother and his family and just get work. And I ended up getting a job, the first job I applied for, which was a jewelry store managing business, and made it as a, not managing, jewelry store, and then made it manager on the third day.
Oh, wow. My gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, after not having a job for 10 years.
And then you get scouted for a reality show. You're just absolutely killing it.
It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy that is how it happened.
Well, talking about Maths, obviously you and Seb are doing the whole long distance thing. How is that all going?
Yeah, good. We contact each other like every hour on the hour, like constant text messages. He does not have an iPhone, so we WhatsApp, do the video face call. Face call, is that it? The video face call?
I think so.
Basically like a WhatsApp FaceTime, yeah. Yeah, and then we talk like first thing in the morning, last thing at night, like just constantly talking. But he's going to try and get here next week.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting, because he's in Adelaide and we're from Adelaide, and I did sort of watch with interest your first impressions of Adelaide, and it does get a bad rap sometimes, but can you tell us a little bit more how, you know, what you think about Adelaide now you've been a few times?
So it was more, yeah, girl, I've been a few times now. It was more the first, because I was sick for so long, and I came from, I was Sydney, but then Newcastle while I was sick. And then I just wanted a more fast pace. I didn't want to go back into a more slow lifestyle. And that was the perception I did have of Adelaide. But I love it. It's actually really chill. And I love the fact there's a church in every corner. Now, I'm a little bit like, my flavor, it was like, it's a little bit gothic. So I like the fact there's a church in every corner. But I also found out there's like a Hungry Jack's on every corner as well.
Yeah, that's very... We actually used to live like right down the road from a Hungry Jack's. And our cousins were so impressed because you could do the shake and win thing from our house, and they were like, this should be a selling feature of this property. But but just back to maths, so once you get scouted, what's sort of the process from there? I'm assuming there's lots of interviews and that kind of thing that
but my process was a little bit different. I managed to make an impression. I don't know, I guess because I'm quite like, a lot of people are quite reserved, and when you first meet me, even the first chat that, you know, we're having, I'm quite open, like I'm an open book. So I got a phone call the next day, and within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were on the show within 2 weeks.
Well, no, so the next day, I had a phone call. They wanted a Skype interview. They had a Skype interview. I filled out like one form, and then had a interview on a panel with one person, and then basically had it.
Wow.
But a lot of people went through I know people went through a bit more, like went more, through more of a process. I actually just got it quite instantly. Yeah.
Wow. Well, they always show the experts going and sniffing all the shirts and showing people photos.
That's real.
That is real. I love that. That's real.
Yeah, I had to wear a shirt overnight, so they don't want you wearing perfume or anything like that. They want your endorphins. And I was laughing my head off, going, "What the hell have I even signed up to?" Because you got to remember, I had not watched the show. Now, producers or like people behind the scenes had told me to watch the show, and I refused to do it because I don't like having a preconceived notion of what something is.
Do you think you would have done it if you had watched the show?
Yeah, because my life has already been so different. I mean everyone's life is quite different, but the fact that I was, you know, I've just had a really different life with my illness and things I've done prior to my illness and everything like that, that I just wanted, my life's just been different. So I thought, why not?
Yeah. Well, you've had such a big TV transformation from your, you know, first being on Maths and then again. What do you think's behind that? Are you a bit of a chameleon and usually changing things up, or was your experience on Maths?
I constantly look different, and it's so funny because it's literally like, because I only filmed for less than a month, around a month last year, and I was only actually on the show for about 3 weeks. So people only saw me for about 3 weeks. And so I love fashion. I absolutely love fashion. And I feel like so many people are focused on trying to improve their appearance, whereas I like to just dabble in everything. Like I'm talking like 70s Americana to like goth to like to all of it. And then I know a lot of people go all about the weight loss. I actually, and this is where I feel bad because people always go, what's your secret, blah blah blah, I actually, before I got sick, was underweight. My body tends to go underweight, so with the condition that I have, it's recommended to have a high carb diet, and that's what I was following. So I was managing a store without having had a job for, you know, and managed to do so well that I had to eat more to keep going because my body gives out on me. And so you need a high carb, high GI diet. So I was literally just throwing back as much food as possible. And so that's why I was curvier than what my average weight would actually be. So coming off the back of the show, I'm not working at the jewelry store back to back anymore. So that's why my weight has subsided.
Oh, wow. Well,
so it's hard because people always want, like, they go, oh, what's the secret? I'm like, there's no secret. And like, I wish I could you know, give you something. I mean, I do occasionally follow the 5-2 diet and occasionally do intermittent fasting. It's not really the best thing for my, what I manage, but I occasionally do it. But it's also like a meditation thing.
I was going to say, now that you're in ISO, have you got any new looks that you're going to be testing out?
I've been testing out new looks like every day.
Can you share some?
I love to have a play, and I think it's a great thing to show everyone that you don't have to always look the same and you can think outside the box and you can have fun with it. Just play with it. Who really gives a crap what other people think? Just play with it.
Well, there's been a lot of guys that have been shaving their heads during ISO. What would you do if Seb decided to do that? Because I've already warned my boyfriend not to do it.
Okay, so I really like Seb with short hair.
Oh.
So he kind of goes like he likes his hair a bit longer and always cut it. So he's been cutting it more recently and he's so hot when he cuts it. And then like, I'm like, oh, I want him to get a fade. He's like, I'm not going that far. But I'm like, I think it'd be freaking hot as. Like, I like him with really short hair.
Well, you convinced him to get,
I'd probably be for it.
You convinced him to get the tattoo. So I feel like you could push for the haircut.
No, he really loves his hair. I'm just like, I love it short. So it goes shorter and shorter. And I haven't seen him for about 3 weeks. So I know that he had a haircut right before I left and he's had a haircut in between. So I'm like, I'm thinking the short thing, he's coming to terms with it.
Well, just back to maths and I suppose the experts, I mean, they've divided opinion and there's talk of Kyle Sanderlands potentially being an expert. What are your view on the judges and do you think Kyle would make a good, oh, sorry, not judges, even though they seem judgy on the experts, sorry.
They're actually really lovely people. This is what they're doing. It's just part of their job. I think they're lovely as individuals. With Kyle Sanderlands, I have met him a couple of times. The first time I did Married at First Sight, and he's actually like so lovely. Like he is really, really nice.
Really? He's funny. He seems hilarious. I'm surprised.
I think that's obviously some people have more of a persona, but him behind the scenes is so fucking lovely. Like, he's so lovely. Sorry for my swearing.
No, go for it.
He's actually so, I can't get over how lovely he actually is.
So he might make a good expert then, because he might be able to sort of be kind, but then also a bit cruel when he needs
and
to
truthful.
Be.
Do you know what? I'm going to say something. I feel like the experts need to call out a few of those people and their bullshit anyway. So, yeah.
I know. It's so true. Well, all they seem to do is focus on everyone's sex lives. Like, that seems to be, I mean, obviously it's edited.
This is where I kind of go with this. Look, guys, once you start me, like, I will not shut up.
No, we love it.
Literally, the thing is, it's a relationship show, and that's part of a relationship. Whether you're doing it or not, if you, you know, for instance, I know there's people out there who stay celibate to the married, like actually, you know, married. So, of course, the marriages aren't legal marriages, right?
Mm.
So, if someone was wanting to be celibate while during that time, they should talk about it and make other people feel okay about it.
Instead of kind of lying.
You know what I mean? Because there are people out there who don't want to and they don't feel comfortable and they should turn around and say, look, I want to stay celibate. And, you know, when you get on that show, you have a platform. So use your voice for good.
Well, we've got to ask, what really goes on at the dinner parties? Is there any inside goss you can give us? Because sometimes it looks like the contestants are like sweating. I'm assuming there's lots of lighting and you're there for hours, but that's just a guess. I don't know. I'd love to know what goes on.
A lot of people look like they're sweating. That's a new one.
Oh.
I loved the dinner parties. It's basically, you're not meant to see each other while filming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not, because like what happens is the dinner parties and the commitment ceremonies are the time to catch up on everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of cheeky buggers who hang out afterwards, like who hang out when they're not meant to be, and that's when they cause a lot of the drama, and then that's when I feel like a lot of people on there kind of go, oh, you don't know what actually happened. Well, you were doing that when there's no camera around, and part of being on the TV show is that, the, you know, you have to film the relationship dynamic. So, yeah, I think they're great fun. I mean, sometimes I can't help myself and be a little bit of a shit stirrer. Like, I get out the spoon and just want to stir it a little bit, like provoke a bit of conversation. But I liked them. I thought they were great fun.
I love that you mentioned the point about some people, you know, canoodling off camera, because there's been so much drama that's come out since MAFS actually finished airing. Of course, there's Casey's relationship with Michael. Did that surprise you, or did you sort of think there was something going on during filming?
Oh God, during filming there was definitely nothing. No, God, no. I am only going to say one thing about this. Well, two things about this. First of all, you know, if they're happy, they're happy. Good luck to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I genuinely feel that, because you never know who you're going to meet on in that, you know, that space. But then it's also unfortunate because I felt like there was a friendship with Stacey. So that's where I get a little bit like, because I'm very much girl code.
Yeah.
And I'm really, that really is me. And I would never go for someone else who was actually with someone else. And yeah, so that's where it's a bit messy. But if they're actually happy, you know, good luck to them. And I hope they, you know, I hope they make some, you know, goodness with it.
I was going to say, a lot of contestants come off the show, and one of the first things.
Look, the thing is, I can't speak for everyone's experience is different, right? But that's just everyone in life. I think that two things go on. It is a TV show, and everyone's aware of that. And then secondly, you know, you have a camera in your face 24/7, right? You have to condense it down. So they did all those things.
Yeah.
I'm just saying when they go about the edits, like, no, you did do that, and you are aware of the process of how this works. So no tears there.
Well, talking about people who clearly did the wrong thing and were edited to look like complete assholes, let's go back to Sam. And oh my gosh, we felt so sorry for you watching that, as did most of Australia. I mean, I feel like it took a lot of guts to then return for the second series. Did it sort of make you not trust the process or potentially the producers when you were going the second time round?
During the interviews afterwards, right, a lot of people have said to me, oh, did you feel the pressure how you had to make it work? And I was like, I literally thought I'd get another arsehole. I was talking to the producers going, you make sure, like, he's someone good for me. Like, yeah, sure, Lizzie. But, yeah, so I was really expecting another arsehole.
Well, thank God didn't get one, because Seb seems amazing. And I think everyone was so happy when you got paired with him.
Yeah, do you know what? I kept saying to him, why are you on reality TV? Like, what's the real gist here? Like, I was like, why are you here? And he's just like, you know, because I am. And I'm like,
So I've got to tell you a funny story that you might be able to remind Seb of this. So Kate and I, we're journalists. So I used to work at, you know, the show Today Tonight? The techie, yeah. And so I remember we were in Adelaide. We were doing a story about the party girls and party boys of Adelaide. And yeah, we got Seb into it, but I think his football coach tipped him off that it might not be a good idea to be in it. So he was in, I think there was shots of him getting a spray tan, but that was about it. He didn't go on the night out. And I feel so bad because I think I've seen it dragged up on Daily Mail, but it was, yeah, it was quite a hilarious story that ended up going viral.
And they went to LA in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know if Seb went, but Seb didn't get to go.
I knew about that. He showed me. He laughed about it. He's like, oh my. And I'm like, oh my God, Seb. So you were a party girl, were you? And he's like, yeah, I was a party girl.
I'm glad he's laughing.
I know all about Seb.
Well, I thought he was a good sport for being on camera getting a spray tan, because there's a lot of men who probably should be getting spray tans that aren't. So
yeah, better good than on
him. He looks so hot with it. Here's the thing. When we first started filming, because, you know, you live with that person, right? He was like, oh, he was trying to act all coy. He's like, oh, what's this? Oh, what's this? What's this you're using? Oh, do you think I should give it a go? And it was only later did I realize that he was, like, known amongst his friends and family for always tanning.
Oh, my God.
And, like, people giving him shtick about it. And then I was just like, oh, my God. But he was so coy. He's just like, oh, and how do you put it on? And, oh, and I was just like, you knew all along.
I love that. Do you know what's hilarious? Our dad, so when we were living at home, we used to have all the fake tan in the cupboard. And he actually thought it was like a spray-on one, and he got it out of the cupboard thinking it was deodorant and sprayed it under his arms. And then the next day he went to our mum and he thought he was dying because he had like orange under his arms. He didn't understand. I mean, that was legitimate. He wasn't playing it up.
Maybe dad's being a closet sort of tanner,
maybe he wanted it evened out or something.
But do you know what though? Like, I feel like more talk about it more, and that's what I really think is great about Seb, is that he talks about emotions and he talks about things. You know what I mean? Like, he's so open. Whereas, you know, I feel like there's that stigma with men that you have to be a certain way and you can't talk about your emotions and how exactly you're feeling. So that to me was an attractive quality about him. And he's like, yeah, I tan. What about it?
Yeah, why can't boys tan? I mean, we're all trying to, you know, stop sunbaking and, you know, burning our skin and potentially getting melanoma. Why can't men do that too? Because they want a tan. Like, men look better with a tan. I don't know why they can't embrace the fake tan. Maybe that's the new thing that will have to happen.
Maybe Seb should release a fake tan.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on to him about it. I think like we should also, when he's here next week, like for Instagram, like actually film us putting tan on.
Yes. Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. I would watch that.
I'll tag you guys in it. Remind me and I'll tag you
guys. Yeah, we'll share it. We'll spread the word.
I love it.
Well, obviously, sadly, trolling seems to be a big part of the experience of going on MAFS and any sort of reality TV show. What has your experience been with trolling?
I have a very thick skin, extremely so, almost to the point where some people can't believe how I sort of let it roll off my shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that explains itself, even the fact I came back for a second time.
Yeah, exactly.
especially when I got put... Like everything that had happened the first time around, I would not wish that on anybody. I'm glad that it happened to me specifically. Mm. That because I was able to handle it. I'm very proud of myself for doing so. I knew nothing about it also. So when I sat down there in the reunion and everything, I knew nothing about it. So I'm very proud of the way that I handled myself. Unfortunately now it's stuck with it. Like people, you know, they still go on about my weight as a constant. Like every time, like, yeah, I've Googled myself, I'm going to put it out there. Like it's always, about like Lizzie's weight loss. And I'm like, oh my God, guys, it was literally for 3 weeks, like a month, like give me a break. And it's hard though, because like my DMs are clogged with, tell us your secret. I'm like, oh my God, like I was sick. I had to have more calories, and then I had a problem with being underweight when I was in my teen years. So it's kind of like, you know.
It's so frustrating because to me, you were a normal, pretty normal size when you were on there, like the first series. And then obviously, as you said, you've had this history of, you know, being underweight or being a slim build. It's just frustrating because girls will look at that and that have a normal, you know, size 10 or 8 or whatever it was and be like, oh, is that considered big? When it's normal.
But that's what I hate about it as well. That's what I hate about it. So people, I was actually with Seb the other day, like, well, you know, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. God, I can't believe it's nearly been that long. And I was saying to him, like, the clothes I was wearing with him were the same clothes that I wore on the first series that I was on MAFS. Now, it's just a size 10, but, you know, I always had stretchy size 10s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so literally, though, although I've lost about 10 kilos, I'm still wearing some of the clothes I was wearing then. Yeah. And it's so weird because people are just like, as if it's like, I know it is different, like it is quite different, but it's still me. So it's just weird that it's such a topic and it's one of the first things that people ask me about when they're going, guys, there needs to be more of a shift. It's like, why is that the most noticed thing about me coming back on?
Yeah, and it's like all women can talk about is, oh, their weight or that they've changed their hair color or, you know.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my God, like, and I think so, me naturally always changing up my appearance and everything, I hope that females or in males, I hope that anyone can look at that and go, oh, it's okay. What, you know, our bodies all change, you know, even women with pregnancy. Like I know a lot of my girlfriends, you know, some of them just had babies and that. And so their body changes as well. And there's so much pressure for them to get back into shape. It's like your body changes throughout your life and that should be an okay thing.
Exactly. Just back to the trolling, I was quite surprised. Well, actually, I shouldn't be that surprised, but I did see a few of your former MAFS friends from your previous series or friends, commenting about you appearing again. I mean, Cyrell was quite vocal. She's had a few nasty things to say, which surprised me. Were you a little bit taken aback by the comments?
Oh, God, no, not with her. No. You got to remember, I know these. Well, actually, some of them I don't know, but I knew her. So nothing surprises me. I think people would be shocked, but I won't ever go down that avenue. But people would be very shocked to see how far people go, right?
Well, she's had a baby with someone from Love Island. Like,
I'm not going to even comment on that. Like, honestly, because, like, I know the ins and outs.
Yeah, don't worry about commenting on that.
I'm not even going to like. But no, but honestly, good luck to him. You know what I mean? Again, like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, people, you know, they bag other people out. But again, I knew her, but I wish her good luck. Do you know what I mean? And actually, I hope they're all happy. It's the same as, because I know a lot of people go on about the Casey and Michael because I said something on Talking Married. I genuinely hope that, like, they're good. Like, I hope everyone is happy in their life. Why would I want to ever wish negativity on someone, right? Yeah, but I know a few other people had to say a few things. But the thing is, it's like, first of all, y'all jealous.
Exactly.
Just saying, because why else? And second of all, like, I know a few of them, like, you know, they wanted more, you know, they wanted people to take notice of them. So they were just talking to anyone on the show this year as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we loved about you. Obviously, you tell it how it is, but you have that girl code and you're not trying to just stir. You did say you were trying to stir stuff up at the dinner, but, you know, you're not going out there like Sorrel and trying to pull you down to get a bit of attention.
No, so that's the thing. Like, obviously, you know, you asked about, you know, doing stuff like this and you asked about the media and even those dinner parties. Like, I say it like it is. I mean, the dinner parties, when I say I was causing, like, stirring the pot a bit, I was just calling out things that people weren't talking about.
Well, you are on a TV show as well. So, like, we've got to understand. Exactly, it's entertainment. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. But I basically, a lot of people try to sweep things under the rugs and I'll be like, well, didn't you say this and you said that? And I'm like, please inform me of how that works. but I would never ever be malicious about someone. In fact, even other people who were quite horrendous about me last year, like when like the after media from last year, I always gave people a way out, and some people still came to me, Sam. I gave them a way out, saying, you know, this is, you know, it's part and parcel of it. But then I kept getting, you know, thrown about in the media negatively, and I actually never said anything. I will comment about people's actions on the show. I won't comment about them as people.
Yeah. Well, just touching on Sam, I saw a few articles pop up yesterday about how different he looks now. I mean, I know you probably have no interest in looking at his Instagram, but you should check it out. It's quite shocking. He's...
I don't want to, though.
Yeah, it'll make you feel bloody fantastic.
Well, as we know, you're winning out of the situation. Yeah. Like, you have won. I mean, if there was a winner and a loser, you
are
the
winner. But can I be honest with you guys, really honest? It's hard because, like, I talk about the slandering and stuff that happened in the media and all those things that were said about me that I had no idea about, and I was kind of just left there to defend myself, right?
Yeah.
I didn't, like, have any – there was no – I didn't know him.
Mm.
So I feel really fucking bad about talking about him freely because I don't know him.
Yeah, that's like, a good point.
Like, I don't know him, and even when they look like I was, you know, having fallbacks and just remember when Sam did this, you know, in this season, that was just part of people to remember that, like, what happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, so, didn't you only see him at the wedding and then he kind of pissed off? Like,
yeah, and then we did live together for about 3 days, and then, like, it was, like, we just cleaned and cooked, and then basically, like, I actually fled. So I got sick, though, and I hadn't told him that about my illness and stuff. I covered everything up. Fair enough. Even the second time going on, I was like, okay, I have to come clean with you guys.
I know the producers would have had a huge part to play in, you know, both series. Can you explain to people who might not understand the producer contestant relationship? Because from what I understand, you've got a producer that's with you the whole time, or with the couple.
There's a huge duty of care. They're lovely people. And when people kind of go, all right, so you film me for, you know, sort of every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're filming every day, and then it is also a TV show, so they have to take the significant parts out, so they kind of rev up a situation or whatever, but that's it.
Well, that is really interesting, because I think there's so many people who don't know the role of the producer. I did see that Michelle recently put up on her
okay.
Well, she put up on her Instagram. Oh, gosh, I don't know if you heard that.
Lightning. I did hear that.
Yeah. It's normally our cat crying in the background, but there's a thunderstorm now.
Oh, what cat do you have? I love cats.
Oh, cat really? Lady. Oh, we've got two rag dolls, Bentley and Gigi.
I have a rag doll.
Do you?
Coco. Really? I used to have two rag dolls, but I have now just Coco.
Does yours shed fur constantly?
Yep. Yeah, he's old now. He's close to 16 now, because they last to about 20. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They're the most gorgeous cats. But yeah.
I would never probably get another cat besides a rag doll, because they've also got that dog-like nature.
Yeah.
Does yours play fetch?
Because we had Bentley, we call him Lord Bentley. We had him first, and before he had his sister Gigi, he did used to play fetch. But does Coco fetch?
Coco didn't, but his brother who passed away about 2 years ago, Malik, did.
Oh, that's so cool!
I love them. Yeah. They're just the best. Like, they follow you around, as you said, like a dog, and just. I mean, you can't even have a shower or anything without them being there.
I know. I love – oh, they're beautiful. I love them.
Aw. Well, segueing back to Michelle's post, she mentioned that there was some form of relationship, at least between her and the paparazzi, and that you guys are basically warned by producers not to talk to them. What's the reality there? Do you guys have a relationship with the paparazzi, or is that all
– Most of the people do. The contestants do. I do not. So if you kind of even do a Googling, like, sort of search, right, you know how, like, a lot of them, there's a pap shot with something.
Yeah.
they normally always pull the images from my Instagram because I, so what that means is a relationship, they're getting paid for pat posts.
Well, you know, when Casey and Michael came out, it was so obvious that those pap shots had been set up with them using their little hand sanitizer. So that does not surprise me at all. Did it kind of annoy you, though, that some people would do that?
What annoys me about it is the fact that, look, you've got to be like, look, these people are putting themselves out there, and if they're getting paid a bit of money to do that, good on them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's not my style. What annoys me is when people assume that I have a paid pap person.
Yeah.
So I've been sort of, people have ever said that about me. No, I think I've done one of it the first time around, but that was it. And I decided never to do it again because I just thought I can't. Like, people might also be surprised that, you know, you get invited to a lot of events while appearing on a reality TV. I basically don't go to any of them.
Yeah.
I've got no interest whatsoever into being in that life.
Hmm. Well, how much would people get paid for, you know, like a roundabout figure for setting up a photo opportunity?
I'm not going to go into the complete.
Yeah, that's
I don't know how much trouble I can get in for saying that sort of thing, but it's not much unless it's kind of like
scandalous.
So it's not really worth it.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, like, people will get money if they are made to look like they're hooking up with someone else.
Oh.
Which will normally be organized.
Oh, wow.
Or, yeah, so I've seen so much of that. So it's not genuine relationships. They're just paid to be with a person, or bikini shots. So every single person that you see in the magazine, they go, oh, you know, that's such an unflattering thing. They got them in their bikini, or they got money for that, honey.
Wow. Yeah.
So interesting.
But that happened all the time on The Bachelor. Remember there were all those, I can't even remember their names, but there were two female contestants who were caught kissing outside a restaurant. And it's like, really, how are the paparazzi going to know they're there at that time?
That's what I want to say. Yeah. How the hell, if you're just randomly at this little boutique or randomly doing this, how the hell are they going to know where you are? My God, I walk around. So there's a shopping center near my parents' house, right? So I walk around there with tan on, like no bra, like 7 I went down there with no shoes on, right? And it's kind of like, wouldn't that be a paparazzi field date? Are they gonna know?
Exactly.
No, because we're not telling them.
And you never see the paparazzi. Well, I mean, we're in Adelaide, so okay, we'll take that with a grain of salt. But whenever I'm in Melbourne or Sydney, I never see just paparazzi out on the street. Like, it's not like LA, you know, they're not just around.
Yeah, they're not,
in swarms.
Though. That's what I mean. Like, it's called for. And then, like, if you see them out, like, there's sometimes. The one thing I will say, though, if you have a friend in the media, right, and then you kind of, like, go to a party or something and they might be lingering around, right, but you go up and say hello to them, it's not, you know, like, I don't know, it's a weird, it's just a paid relationship, you know, they're just trying to make an income as well. I mean, some of them can be quite nasty, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, what can we expect? I mean, I was going to say, what can we expect to see from you in 2020? Obviously, it's been interrupted by COVID-19, but what can fans expect from you?
I am in a kind of like a debate to kind of go under the radar and basically disappear for a bit. Again, like, I enjoy seeing how everything works, right? The whole aspects and the dynamic of a TV show. And, you know, I can't believe I actually freaking met my boyfriend off Married at First Sight. Like, obviously, like, I wanted to find someone, but you're going to be skeptical. I'm going to be really, real honest. You're going to be skeptical if you're going to have a good time. And I can't believe I met my boyfriend, right? So it's kind of like, I don't know. Like, I might have a bit more fun with in the public eye, but I don't know if I'm going to continue down that way.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to see. You have been so amazing. Thank you so much for speaking with us. We have thoroughly enjoyed
catching
up.
I don't want to shut up. I could talk to you for
I know. Like, so could we. And but I was like, oh, I feel bad. I don't want to, like, take up the rest of your time. But, yeah, thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear you're a fellow ragdoll lover as well.
Yeah, I know. That was a new thing. Daily Mail, are you listening? I'm just joking. Oh, thank you. It was so lovely to talk to you. And I hope you get to see Seb with some short hair and tan soon.
He told me he's booking his flights today. So whether he gets on it or not, but then I'll be in, like, as soon as COVID's done, like, I'm going to be in Adelaide. So.
Oh, that's exciting. I was going to recommend some spots to go to, but, you know, everything shuts.
I'll let you guys know when I'm actually there. I'll be like, come take me out. Like,
yeah,
show me where to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You can come and cuddle our ragdolls as well. I'm sure they'd love to meet you.
I will never leave, though. That's the only thing. Like, you invite me in. Like, I don't leave.
Oh, Amy's boyfriend would be happy about that because he's taken over the ragdolls. So he's always looking for people to take them. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll let you go, but thank you so much. You're an absolute legend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Now, a quick word from today's sponsor. While stuck in ISO, we've been working on our skin. With constant Zoom calls and nights in, we've been embracing the natural look with Mindtan's Tanning Facial Mist. They're so good because they build up a natural looking tan and also hydrate the skin. It also gives you the confidence to wear no makeup.
I'm also loving the tan milk. It's also great as part of your post-tanning routine as it helps to prolong your tan. You can also use it to build up a gradual tan. We have tried our fair share of fake tans and Mind Tan is an absolute game changer. The Salon Professional formula lets you customize your tan based on your skin type, tone, and desired skin finish.
Outspoken listeners can receive 25% off their order at the checkout using the discount code OUTSPOKEN.